My dear friend, may the grace and peace of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My name is Father Tom Fogarty, and I am a member of the Society of St. Paul, which is a branch of what we call the Pauline family. Later on, I will explain what that means. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me. I hope you will listen to me again, perhaps several times. My words won't be any different. But you will. The Master will open your mind a little more. I pray that he will open it fully, that you will see some of the great things that God has prepared for those who love him. That happened to me many years ago. I was an average young man of my time, not very bad, but not very good either. I had no special qualities. Certainly, there was no special reason why the Master should have called me. But he did. And that is why I am speaking to you now, praying that the Master will open your mind and your heart as he opened mine. Note that I do not say, I hope the Master will call you. There's no need. You are listening to this tape. That's as much call as you could reasonably expect. God is everywhere. Especially he is everywhere when he looks at this one or that one, and his heart glows in a special way. And he reaches out to touch that other heart, to make it come alive for him and in him. That is what he is doing now. Maybe you don't believe me. I can understand. We live in a world which either ignores the spiritual altogether, or else believes only if it sees signs and wonders. But the truly spiritual is not necessarily visible. And yet the truly spiritual is everywhere. It is here, now, with you and with me. I remember my own experience of the spiritual. It was very normal, even pragmatic. That's the way God works. I had begun to go to daily Mass, and this was an experiment, of course, because time and again in the past, I had tried to do this, but had never succeeded, because the hour of sleep less and the cold morning air always made my asthma act up. This time I succeeded. It was June and the air was kinder. Then the unexpected happened. One morning, as I watched the priest emerge from the sacristy, a surprising thought passed through my mind. That priest coming out of the sacristy, that could be me. I was amazed. Why on earth did such an idea strike me? I had never thought seriously of the priesthood. I knew that because of my asthma, I would never be accepted in any of the seminaries of those years. I'll tell you why it struck me. It was the first call of God. As you see, something very quiet, almost imperceptible, apparently irrational, as in that instance. More mind-wandering. But it was not mind-wandering. It was the voice of God. Not altogether clear, but certainly not imposing, but his voice nevertheless. Now back to you. I visualize you as young in heart and not in years, and you have certainly suffered. Is it possible to go through life without suffering? That suffering was not desired by God, but he allowed it, knowing that if you bore it well, it would be a blessing. I know you bore it well. If not, you would have abandoned God a long time ago. And I am sure that you intend to work for the Lord for the rest of your life. And may you have many joyful years to serve him and serve other people. Now, how is your spiritual life? Does it have a center, a core, from which all the rest radiates? I hope it has. I hope that center is the Lord, our Divine Master. The Divine Master, that is the name we give him in our Pauline family. And he also gave himself a name. At the Last Supper, he told his followers that he was going away and that they knew where he was going. Thomas said, "We don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus said, "Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." But let's talk about you. Let me see. I mentioned having a center for your spiritual life. That's important. You know, these days it's hard to find such a center, and it's harder still to find someone who has a permanent center. The air is full of expectation, prophecies, visions, miracles, signs. Which ones are we to believe? What leaders are we to follow? Which way should we go? Where will it all end? We love that new devotion we just discovered. But what has happened to past devotions, past practices, past habits? Were they better than the ones we have now, or worse? Who's going to tell us? Sometimes we have to act firmly. The Lord is calling us to move in a certain direction. And that direction is not necessarily where all our friends are moving. It's not a popular direction. We may find ourselves at the parting of the ways, the moment of decision. Will I opt for the sure, the safe, the comfortable, the popular? Will I launch out into the deep with short-term hesitation, maybe, but with profound long-term satisfaction? My dear friend, I am inviting you to launch out into the deep where the best fishing is. And I know what this means, because years ago, I was faced with a similar challenge. It was difficult. Difficult even when the Master called me again, a second time. One evening, I was attending a parish mission given by an old Jesuit. He gave a beautiful sermon on the love of God. At the end, he invited us to kneel and examine our lives and ask ourselves what special offering we could make to God to return his love for us. He made some suggestions for the married men present, and then, out of the blue, came the question, "Any young fellow here like to be a priest?" His voice pierced my heart, and I'm not ashamed to say that I cried, because there was nothing I wanted more, and there was nothing that seemed so impossible. Well, the impossible became real, actual. But even then, there was a price to pay. Let me tell you about it. But first, I must apologize. This talk is beginning to sound like my memoirs. On the other hand, part of my story may help you with your story. After some reflection, I came to the conclusion that I would not think any further of the priesthood, as no seminary would accept me on account of my health. So I decided I would remain in my job but devote all my free hours to work in the Legion of Mary and the local St. Vincent de Paul conferences. Then the roof fell in. I met the Society of St. Paul and was faced with a radical choice. Leave my job, my security, my friends, my country, the familiar things of life, and go to another country, another way of life, go to face the challenge of another language, another culture, and all this with the profound suspicion that I just wouldn't make it because of my health. But I had experienced the Master. I was certain of that, but much less certain of his plans for me. Well, the plans unfolded and are unfolding still. Every day I say, I give you thanks, O Almighty God, for all your benefits. You will live and reign forever and ever. Now, that's enough about me. Let's get back to you. A friend has given you this tape and possibly told you something about our Holy Family Institute. At this stage, I would like to think that you have an open mind, but a rather puzzled one. What is this institute? My best answer is that it enables you to concentrate all your time, all your thoughts, all your talents, all your energies, all your love for God, on a single, coherent, consistent spiritual goal. And what is the goal? It is to give God the maximum love in this life, to do the maximum good to others, and then to be with God forever. It enables you to concentrate. That's the point. I said before that we are surrounded by a multitude of voices calling us to this spirituality, to that spirituality, to this devotion, to that pious practice. All very good. But where can you find the spiritual best? Let me tell you. You can find it in the Holy Family Institute, and in the easiest and most profitable way. First of all, it is an institute. It offers a precise spirituality and for a precise purpose. In the institute, you do not have to waste time asking if you could do better somewhere else. You could not do better. You could, of course, do differently. Down the road, you may find some other new spiritual novelty. But is novelty to be the criterion of what is best? Surely not. A rolling stone gathers no moss. Secondly, the Institute is a branch of the Pauline family. Now, the Pauline family is an international religious family of priests, brothers, sisters, and consecrated men and women who are married or widowed. These men and women are not in a secondary place in the Pauline family. They are members, just like all the others. That is unusual. Most married people linked to a religious group are members of a third order. The members of the Holy Family Institute are members of the Pauline family. A very different situation. Moreover, they are consecrated men and women, meaning set apart for the work and prayer of our Pauline family. This means that they are not alone, stumbling through life attracted by this bright light or that bright light, but are men and women with a precise purpose which is worth all their time and attention. And what is this purpose? It is the same purpose as the Pauline family has. The purpose or work of the Pauline family in the church is evangelization, spreading the good news, preaching the gospel. Now, evangelization, preaching the gospel, is not just one of the many church works. It is the major one. It is the one which, if the church did not do it, then the church would go out of existence in a few generations. We know that this is true. Look at today's world. So much sin, so much scandal, so much confusion, so many families damaged and destroyed. Why? Because the teaching of the church either is given incorrectly or often is not given at all. Moreover, the Pauline family does its evangelizing work using the mass media, press, movies, television, radio, audio, visuals, and the internet. Thus, it not only does the major work in the church, but it also does it in the most effective way. You are aware of the power of the media over all of us. All this means that the Institute belongs to the most important religious family in the church. Are you clear about that? Are you convinced? If you truly do not believe that evangelization is not the most important church activity, then tell me which one is. Write to me. Call me. But if you do believe, in the central importance of evangelization. Then the doors of the Institute swing wide open to receive you. Come on in. My dear friend, the church was founded to share the word, to preach the gospel, to tell the good news, to evangelize. And so the Institute offers you the opportunity of working for and praying for the most important work in the church. Isn't that terrific news? Can you believe your luck? How long have you lived? 30 years? 40 years? 50 years and more? Did you always know what the most important church work was? I doubt it. Most people, even very good people, haven't a clue. Now, a second point. The Institute offers you the opportunity of praying and working in the very best way. What a consolation that is. So many prayers out there, so many devotions, so many groups, so many different ways leading in so many different directions. What a relief to hear that the Church has confirmed definitively the Holy Family Institute as a means leading to holiness, that there is no need to look further. My dear friend, you found the pearl of great price. Take my advice. Sell all you have. Leave aside all the religious possibles and the probables and the maybes, all your good intentions which somehow have not been realized, all your resolutions which somehow did not produce the promised effect. Leave them all aside and come to the security and simplicity of the Institute. Holiness is not complicated. But sometimes we make it complicated. We feel that spiritual progress is measured by the number of prayers we say, or by the good works we do, or the number of religious groups we belong to. Well, certainly these are very good things. But they are not the important thing. What is prayer if not words, sounds? You think sounds are the important things? No, they are not, not even the sounds of prayer. What are good works if not actions? You think actions are the important things? No, they are not. Not even the best actions. So what is important then? I'll tell you. The important thing is to have the Lord, the Master, at the center of your heart, at the center of your life. He comes to all of us in baptism. But for the most part, we don't fully appreciate his presence or cultivate it. We think that we have to make ourselves holy by worrying about it. But we can't make ourselves holy, meaning whole, or healed, or without defects. That's the Master's job. It is also his job to make our prayers and good works truly valuable. Why is your prayer good? Why is my prayer good? Because the Master, the Savior, is in you and me praying with us. Why are your actions good? Why are my actions good? Because the Master is in you and me acting with us. In the Institute, we learn to appreciate and cultivate the presence of the Master so that our lives, no matter how commonplace they appear on the outside, are turned to gold by God in us. We are not alone. Now, let me sum up what I've said. The Institute offers the very best church activity, even if members, as usually happens, never leave their home or job. They are part of the whole Pauline family by their membership, and their importance in that family depends on how much a presence God has in their lives. Secondly, the Institute offers the very best church prayers. Prayers for that activity, its own activity, prayers that millions may be enlightened by the work the Pauline family does, and that the damage done to individuals and families by media misuse may be lessened. Third, the Institute offers the very best opportunity of greater happiness in paradise. Why? Because paradise is where God is, where Jesus is. Now, in the Institute, we live close to him during our lives, and so at death, we don't have anywhere to go, anywhere to reach him. We are already with him forever. Fourthly, the Institute offers peace of mind and heart. Why? Because we stop wondering if there's some new and better spirituality out there. We know there isn't, and there can't be. We stop worrying if our lives are being led to the best advantage. We know they are. We stop worrying about death. We are in the best possible situation to prepare for a happy death. And there is a final important point. In the Institute, you make vows. You are consecrated. What does that mean? Well, it means many things, but let me explain it this way. When you consecrate yourself to God, hand him over your life without necessarily changing it, it's the internal handing over, then you know what God says. He says, this soul is trying to be more generous than I am. I'm not going to let myself be beaten in generosity. And so the good God, from the moment you are consecrated, adds a very special value to every good thought you think, every good word you say, every good action you do. My dear friend, there is more, much more. But I've said enough. I've said enough. And now you must act. And you must act in only one way. You must accept my invitation to membership in the Institute. And you're forced to. No, our loving God never forces anyone. Is the step worth taking? Of course it is. You do not want to spend the rest of your life wandering from one prayer to another, from one group to another, from one spirituality to another. Why do that when the best spirituality the church has to offer is yours for the asking? What would have happened if I had refused the call of God? It would not have been wrong. But what a tremendous difference to my life after I responded. May this tremendous difference be given to your life as you respond joyfully to God's loving invitation. I'm Father Tom Fogarty. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Divine Master look after you all the days of your life. And now, if you wish to contact me, my phone number is 330-533-5503. My fax number is 330-533-1076. And if you want to write, you can find me at Box 498, Canfield, Ohio, 44406. Thank you, and God bless you.